How's it going, everybody? Happy Friday, NHL Fantasy on Ice, Elimination Weekend Edition. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, and Michael Leboff from the Action Network. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Pete, thanks for having me back.
Six potential elimination games on Friday. It's happening.
Before we move any further, we just have to tip the cap to Leboff here with the early picks here throughout the playoffs. I mean, the dogs have been barking. Leboff has been money. Pay attention to what Leboff's got on his mind here today because he's been money thus far.
Yeah, any time the underdogs are doing well in the NHL over any stretch of time, I'll usually be doing well just because of, you know, my strategy is to kind of exploit matchups. And I think that this, the way that this tournament was set up, we had a lot of very exploitable ones. You know, the Oilers and Blackhawks are just two teams that are very similar to each other, right? Two bad mediocre defenses, one bad defense, like that's going to keep teams in games, especially underdogs. And we're seeing it with the Blue Jackets and Leafs too. Like if you put a really good defense against a really good offense, the playing field's going to be leveled, and that always lends value to the dogs.
And as Bobby mentioned, Mike, you were 8-0 in the first two days of the postseason, which is truly incredible. So hats off to that. You were all over the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I think we can't start with anything else here. After what happened last night, the Leafs blew a 3-0 lead, and the Jackets took control of the series thanks to Pierre-Luc Dubois. Are they finishing this thing off? Because I know that was your original series prediction, right?
Yeah, I thought the Blue Jackets, just the value was there. I didn't think they were going to actually win the series. Just like when you're looking at betting, you're not trying to pick a winner. You're trying to pick the right price, right? And sure. The Blue Jackets, to me, even before the season started, a lot of times we saw with the Islanders last year, and the market will overreact to significant like deletions or subtractions from a roster in the summer. And that happened. I think the Blue Jackets weren't, they became a team that was identified by its defense late in the season before this one. And, you know, you don't need superstars to succeed like that. So I was always going to be on the Blue Jackets. Like, the Wild fit that bill too. And the price was right. So I'm really chuffed with the way that they've been playing. And I did not think we were going to get that win last night, but I'll take it.
Do you think they close out in four? Or do you think it gets to five? I mean, if it gets to the problem with it getting to five is Toronto, I think will win that. I think Columbus has got to, if they're going to win the series, I think they got to win game four.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. They always say, right, the hardest game to win is the fourth one in a series or a third one in this case. But I think I'm definitely surprised with the, I'm not surprised that the market opened a little shorter for game four, but I would be very surprised if it doesn't close kind of in the range that it's been, which is between like plus 130 and 145-ish. Because when it opened last night, it was like 123, and which is just giving too much respect to the Blue Jackets. At that point, you know, if I still wouldn't bet the Leafs at that number, but if it kept coming down, I would be shocked, but I would be close to betting the Leafs, which was something I was not anticipating doing. But I don't see if it does go five, I don't see the Blue Jackets hanging because they're bending but not breaking. You can only do that so often.
And a goalie change for Columbus in the game paid huge dividends. Elvis stopped every shot he faced after relieving Corpusalo, gets the win. All of a sudden now the Maple Leafs. Robbie, what are your thoughts on Muzzin's injury? Because does that happen? Does that collapse happen with Jake Muzzin? I don't know. Maybe not. What do you think?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, that's we were talking about, I think, 2 weeks ago that this Toronto team made those adjustments to play a more defensive, physical style by getting guys like Muzzin, Clifford, Mikhaev, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So without him, he's like basically one third of that. That's a big percentage to lose when you look at physicality and defensive structure. They don't have enough guys that can shut it down otherwise. And then Freddie, of course, Pete, you and I know from, you know, a regular season fantasy perspective, he's always susceptible. You know, he's going to make a big save here and there, but he's always susceptible to not bailing out the Maple Leafs. And they need a goalie that can bail them out, that can make a Hasek-like save late in the third period. And they're not getting that out of Freddie this season. So I think if you have a guy like Muzzin in there, it's a different story. But that's just not the way it works in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's injuries on injuries on injuries, and you got to find a guy to step up.
Yeah, and Pierre-Luc Dubois, I mean, he, for the first time maybe ever yesterday, he looked like a bona fide number one center. This is a guy that was drafted number 3 overall that 1 year behind Matthews and Laine. but never really stacked up to those two players prior to last night. But a hat trick with your season kind of falling by the wayside to then totally flip the script. That was a vintage performance by a player that now could maybe join a conversation in the years to come. A total springboard game for Dubois, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, he looked great. And that, you know, everyone was pointing that blow up he had on the bench with Tortorella too, which maybe ignited the fire. I think the Muzzin thing to me is a really good, you know, point for bettors who are getting into hockey. Like, to us, Jake Muzzin is a huge deal. Like, he's a big name to us, but to casual bettors, like, Jake Muzzin missing a game for the Maple Leafs won't really move the market much. And I mean, it shouldn't move it like drastically, but it does give more value to the Blue Jackets. And the market never really adjusted to his absence yesterday. And if you acted early on that Blue Jackets line, knowing that Muzzin was going to miss the game, like you got even better value. So it's just always always keep an eye on the injuries, especially guys like that Jake Muzzin is not a household name in the sports world, but to us and to the Leafs, he's very important.
No doubt. And one thing I just want to remind people is that anytime a team breaks through and ends up going on a deep run or something, there's always like a moment like this where you could turn back and look back at it and said, that was the potential breaking point. And that's what it feels like for the Maple Leafs. We all know, especially Robbie, this team's aspirations were not just winning a playoff series for the first time. It was to finally get over the hump and beat a team like the Boston Bruins. That was like not their end goal, but that was what they were aiming for. So again, I wouldn't count the Maple Leafs out, even without Muzzin. I think they've shown enough in this series defensively and with Freddie to give them a real shot. And I personally still like them a little bit to win the series, just to be honest.
And final thing on the Maple Leafs before we move forward is just that this is a team that needs to overcome adversity. And if they do manage to win game 4 and game 5, I think that's big time stock for them moving up in the Eastern Conference and maybe even winning multiple rounds if that's the case. Now, I did want to move ahead here, Mike. Pittsburgh, Montreal, we were saying it. We were beating a dead horse. There was, I think I said it every single show, there's no better value than Montreal in the qualifiers. That's continued to hold true every single game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, who really don't look like the same team because they've got one center, and his name's Sidney Crosby. They don't have two centers anymore in Evgeny Malkin. So what do you make of this Montreal Canadiens team? Do you think they can close out, or do you think Pittsburgh, the beast, awakens? We see Malkin have a big game. We see Chris Letang step up and have a big game.
Man, the Canadiens have been a lot of fun to watch too, because they're absorbing all this pressure and still finding a way to win. And Carey Price has been great, but I really would tread lightly, like saying that I think the Canadiens will close out the series, because, you know, like we said, like the Penguins are, they could just wake up just like that. But you know, as someone who invested in the Canadiens before the series and bet them every game and bet them as a small shot to win the Stanley Cup, I couldn't be happier with where they are right now. And I'm confident that they can close it out just because of the way Price is playing. And if you are into, like, you know, I'm not totally sure where the market is this morning, but the Canadiens are definitely worth a look just because of the way that the round robin is shaking out. They're not going to have to deal with the Bruins in round one. They might have to deal with the Lightning, sure, but that's not set in stone yet either. So, like, that number 12 seed, they still got to run a gauntlet, but there's a chance there. So keep an eye out on the Canadiens' future market.
Well, I go back to that point that you made prior to the start of the series and why they had a great chance of winning game one and a great chance of hanging around was the 5-on-5 play. We were mentioning it last show. Pittsburgh could barely get into the zone late in the third period on the power play when they had a 6-on-4. So you look at the 5-on-5 advantage, it's been in Montreal's favor pretty convincingly so far, and that gives them a great chance to win one of the final two games. And it also kind of, even if Pittsburgh bounces back, which I think they will in game 4, like, game 5 is one of those things that Montreal's going to hang around. And then it's going to go to, you know, late in the third period or overtime. And it's going to be one of those things, like, I look back to, like, Carolina last year against Washington. Like, you didn't truly believe that it was going to happen until it actually did. And that's what I see maybe happening in game 5 based on what we've learned so far in the series.
Well, even if Pittsburgh does come back and win the series, don't you think that there's going to be a lot of question marks for that team moving forward? Like, I wouldn't say that rallying against the Montreal Canadiens, the lowest seed in the East, and winning a 5-game series is really anything to hang your hat on. I mean, this team needs a major adjustment, whether it's in net, whether it's defensively, whether it's zone entries, five on five. I mean, there needs to be a massive shakeup here. And this just isn't the same Penguins team that we've been seeing, Pete. And I think you and I were talking about it before the postseason last year. We just weren't really sold on that team. There were people picking them to go to the final again. And we're like, what are you seeing that we're not seeing? Same thing this year. We've had people on the show say Pittsburgh's going to win the cup. What are you seeing? Like, where are you getting this intel from? What stats are you looking at that suggests that this team can still do what they used to do? I'm not seeing it. They've gotten five or six power plays in single games against the Canadians, and they can't score more than a goal.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing was the Gensel factor that he was coming back. But the reality is, right, Mike, that they gave up so much to get Jason Zucker. And last year they had dysfunction when they traded away Phil Kessel after they get swept. And it's kind of trending towards more of the same here.
Yeah, I'm really interested just to see where they end up after, you know, what the kind of, I guess, narrative it will be if they lose this series. Because like Mike Sullivan did a great job, I thought. Like they dealt with a lot of injuries. He kind of turned them into a good defensive team because of that. And then now, you know, I don't think he'll come under any pressure, of course. But like, you know, he's got they're going to have some weird decisions to make in the offseason that could definitely alter the direction of the franchise. Which, you know, the wonderful thing about these playoffs is just the chaos that is happening right in front of us as we're watching the games and as we're breaking down the games, but it's also going to breed even more chaos into the off season. As a fan, it's just so hard not to just, you know, sit back and just enjoy it and then keep thinking about what's to come, because it's going to keep getting crazier by the day.
And it's not just, we can't just say it's on the Penguins. Like we have to say that Montreal, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, five on five scoring, Joel Armia playing a great series, Jeff Petrie, worth rostering in DFS every single night. Like there are guys on that team that have stepped up major. So I don't want to just make this out to be, this is on the Penguins. There's nothing on the Habs here. No, this is absolutely the Habs stepping up, being able, and credit Claude Julien too. I mean, he gets a lot of flack on Twitter. I don't know if that's a good sample size or a good market to judge opinions on, but Claude Julien definitely doing well, and Carey Price, of course, deserves a gold medal for this.
And if Pittsburgh loses one of the next two games, they will be in the running for Alexis Lafreniere. So that could turn things around pretty quickly. 12.5% chance to every qualifying team that loses in the first round. So worth noting there. The other big thing for game four, do the Penguins consider starting their all-star goalie? Tristan Jarry has been on the bench so far. Remember, he was an all-star. He was in St. Louis for the big game.
I thought that, I mean, it's so hard. We saw it even with Korpisalo, like, excuse me, the coaches just, they want to go with experience in these situations, especially when stuff is, you know, a little weird, and Murray obviously has that, but you got to do something, right? Like I actually would say that Jarry to me, you know, if should move the market a little bit towards the Penguins, just judging off the season that he had compared to Murray. So it wouldn't throw me off betting the Canadians at all, but it's just something to keep in mind. I as a Canadians better, for game one, I was happy with the decision to start Murray, and I've you know, he hasn't been, I don't think he's been bad. The Petrie goal obviously kind of changes that, on it turns it on its head. You know, one goal can do that, but the guy on the other side of the ice has just been spectacular.
I think you have to, Pete. They need to have that happen. They need something, a jolt in that locker room, and that's what starting Jarry over an experienced guy would do for them. Now, I do want to talk about goalie controversy or potential in the Nashville-Arizona series. I mean, if you're the Nashville Predators, I think everybody's directing the blame towards Matt Duchene not stepping up enough, but they haven't gotten good goaltending all season. This has been a regular season decline for the Nashville Predators, and that's ironic because a lot of people said their defense improved by getting rid of P.K. Subban in the offseason last year. We're not really seeing that right now.
Yeah, and I'm a pretty big believer in Juuse Saros, but I thought he would kind of level the playing field with Kemper a little bit more than Rene would, and it's just not been the case. Like he's been outplayed, and when you have a team like Arizona who can't go to a man talent like toe to toe with Nashville, they need that goaltending, and they need, you know, a break here or there, and they're getting it. And for the Predators kind of claw back in the series, it's going to have to come down to, you know, either Rene or Saros to kind of at least keep pace with Kemper. They don't need to outplay him because they're the better, stronger team, but it's just not happening. And I would still stay with, I'm on, like, I can't quit Juuse Saros for some reason. Like, I think he's just really good. He had a great second half, and I would go back to him, but I just wouldn't be surprised if that's not the case. And the Predators are, they're an interesting team, man. They're one I've not been able to get right all season.
I think they're going to stick with Juice. Hal Gill on NHL at the Rink, we asked him the question. He sort of punted on it. He said it's a really, really tough decision. He didn't want to disrespect Juice or Rene. To me, I think they stick with Stars. Think about this. Last game, even though the score was 4-1, I mean, it was pretty tight. The Nashville Predators could have won that game pretty easily. So they might not overreact here and go to Rene in a decisive game. I think Saros is going to get the start.
Yeah, I think Nashville's done, honestly. I don't like the way that team's been trending the past few years. I think that if they play Rene, if they succumb to that pressure, it's kind of like, you know, what the Rangers did playing Lundqvist over Georgiev or playing Lundqvist for game two, whatever it is. It's history for the Rangers, but I think it'll be more of the same for Nashville. I don't trust Rene more than I trust Saros. We've been beating that drum all second half of the season. So I think Nashville is done in this series, and you can't help but look at like that trade in hindsight for Fiala. Imagine if they had Kevin Fiala, you know, pounding out 14 shot attempts like he did for the Wild yesterday. I mean, what a swing and a miss on that trade.
Well, I want to give credit to Arizona, though, here, first and foremost. Like, this is a team, Pete, that you and I have been predicting is going to make the playoffs the last few years, right? And it wasn't really happening. There was a few missing parts with it. It's like the same thing we keep saying with Florida, right? Like, they have a good group there. They just need to get everything going at the right time. Finally, even with a kind of murky off-ice situation there, like, all the players have put that aside. They're all stepping up. They're getting depth scoring. Their defensive play, even with OEL getting banged up mid-game, is looking really solid.
Hey, we got Mike back, and we're just talking about the Predators-Coyotes series here, Mike. And Pete thinks the Predators are done. I think the price is right for Arizona. I don't think you can take Nashville today at all. At even money or better, I think you have to go with Arizona. And I think Nashville is going to start Saros. I don't think they're going to get away from Saros and go to Rene. I don't even think it matters. Like you said, you're not betting the team, you're betting the number. And it's not one of my favorite games by any means today, but I don't think you can take Nashville at minus 140 from what we've seen with that team.
Yeah, I think that price is way too high on them. I think if you are going to bet Nashville too, you go right to the series price, right? You look to the two. I think they're 225 or something like that, maybe a little higher. But you go that way, and then look, if they do win, then you're holding a ticket on Nashville to win a single game at +225. Again, and I don't understand the price either, because I think what we've seen from Arizona is, Nashville's going to control play in these games, but Kemper really does level the playing field, and they're good enough defensively to make his job pretty easy when they need to. They're able to weather a storm, and you know they're in that kind of Wild, Blue Jackets, Islanders mode where if you turn a game into a coin flip, there's automatically going to be value on anything at above plus money.
But I would say clear of Nashville and maybe just the series in general for the last two games, because this is one of those things where like Nashville's not good enough to shut the game down like the Islanders can, for example. Like, they can't play that rigid style. They still have guys like Matt Duchene breaking out of the zone early, trying to get an odd man rush. Like, they can't all buy into that. They can't rely on Josi, on Ellis, like people thought they would, and Ekholm as well. Like, those guys are fantastic, but there's still other guys that aren't buying into the system. So at the same point, though, it wouldn't surprise me to see Philip Forsberg have a multi-point game. It wouldn't surprise me to see Matt Duchene have two great power play assists. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I wouldn't say, like, absolutely outright take Arizona to close this thing out. I'm just not certain of that. And I do think, to be honest, not to just be contrarian here, but giving Pekka Rinne one more shot, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for this Nashville Predators team. I'm sure behind the scenes, maybe, you know, maybe he's not in the best, you know, whatever conditioning, whatever it is that they're hesitant to start him for. This is a guy with experience, and I think that would help the team in front of him.
Before we go to Edmonton, Chicago, which is really close to my heart, Mike, I'm just going to ask you a broad stroke question regarding series prices and then your best bet for Friday. What are you looking at as far as your best series to bet on right now that you can get a good price on? And then if you had to put the most important shekel of your life on a game, this elimination Friday, we'll call it, what would it be?
For series price, I like the Wild. They're +250. This is a team I haven't been able to quit all season. So, you know, maybe I'm a little biased just because I think their numbers make them rate out to be a much better team than the market perceives them. They haven't scored at 5-on-5 yet. They've got a couple 6-on-5 goals and power play goals, but they haven't scored at 5-on-5. So I'm just hoping at some point they do. And if they can kind of impose their will a little bit more at 5-on-5, I think they're with that with a chance to win these next two games. As for Friday, like it's the Canadiens again. I think just the price is just too good on Montreal, and they're hanging with the Penguins every step of the way. Like there have been times where they've had to weather a storm, but they're hanging around. And if you are holding a +140 ticket and it's 0-0 or 2-2 in the third, like you already have value. Like you're getting a really good, that's even if you lose that bet, that's good value. And the Canadiens have shown that they're able to provide that to bettors. So I would go right back to Montreal on Friday.
Okay. I'm going to the series here that is very close to my heart. I was all over the Oilers. I knew it was a public play. I knew the price was high on the Oilers. I'm disappointed now as we head into game four. I'm disappointed with the way Edmonton lost game three at the end of the game with the bounces. Is there any hope for Edmonton here at -130 today? I just want to get them to a game five. Give me an opportunity to do some hedging. Boy, oh boy, give me some hope, Michael. Is there any hope here?
Yeah, the odds tell you there's hope, right? They're -130, so that gives them a little over 55% chance of winning when you convert it to implied probability. And this matchup is just it's gonna breed chaos. Like there's just no this is a perfect matchup for a team like Chicago, but in the same sense, like it's a perfect matchup for Edmonton to come back from a 2-1 deficit, because neither of these teams are going to play that well defensively. No team's ever going to be out of a game. So no Oiler ticket is dead at all. But at the same time, like -130 is it's just too high a price for me to pay for a team that has proven to be, you know, a disaster and keeping the puck out of their own net.
I still do trust their offense though. And I fall back on that penalty kill number 2 in the NHL from the regular season. Therefore, I think they're a really nice wager to win the series. I trust them a lot more than I trust Pittsburgh right now based on what I've seen. I know that they dropped that game the other day, inexplicable, but some of the bounces did not go their way. So, and that's one thing. Sometimes when there's a game like that, it lights a fire under a team. I could see them dropping 6 goals on Chicago. That would be an afterthought, really. Chicago could allow that many goals in a game, obviously. And then game 5, anyone's guess. Chris Wassel mentioned it yesterday. There's going to be a lot of chaos. You seem to be saying the same type of thing. It's going to be a topsy-turvy ending to the series. But I think at the end of the day, Edmonton will win.
It's a no-brainer. This is going to game 5. I mean, you're telling me that there's going to be a passed-up opportunity to have Pat Kane against Connor McDavid in a must-win game. Stop it. This is a hammer job. It's a no-brainer. Stop overthinking these things. And let me just say this, too. It's so easy to overreact to one game in a best-of-5 series because every day feels like life or death. We have to get out of that mindset. If you're going to make clear picks, especially moving forward when the actual postseason tournament starts, like you got to be thinking a little bit more long-term than day-to-day.
That's one of my favorite betting strategies is – especially in the NHL playoffs, is it 2 years ago, I think it was Flyers Penguins, and the Flyers lost like 7-0, or I can't remember. It was a very crooked number in game one. They were like -165 for game one, and for game two they were more than 1-2. They were minus like 210. The market was already set for game one. It already told you what the price should be. So just buying into that overreaction is always a good idea. And so I think another thing too is like hockey betting's so cruel and it will always humble you. You can argue that Nashville and Edmonton both played their best games in those losses in game 3. So I've not given up on the Oilers to win. I just can't bet them at the price.
Would you consider them? You're not going to consider this. There's no way you're going to consider this. The series price, them winning the series, as Pete brought up. What is it, Pete? Like +200 or so?
Yeah, +210 I saw this morning.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, you're probably going to steer clear of that, but I'm sure there's some listeners out there that have seen Chicago play all year long, see Dreisaitl, see McDavid, see this Edmonton Oilers team, and might want to grasp some series price there at +200. What's your advice to them?
Yeah, if you are going to bet Edmonton, I would go that direction. I wouldn't pay the the minus 130 on him. If it came down to minus 120, which I can't see happening just because none of the games have closed there, I would be all in on the Oilers. I would pay the 20 cents. They are the better team. They're the better team than Chicago. It's just, you know, they're a flawed team. And those are the kind of teams I like to take advantage of in when they're playing underdogs. So I wouldn't say that I'm not going to bet Edmonton to win the series, but I wouldn't call it a bad bet at all, especially if you are a believer in Edmonton, or if you just want to have action on the game, which, you know, who am I to judge someone for doing that?
Now, a team that I do think is going to close out here with no problem is the Vancouver Canucks. This is a team, Pete, I know you've been covering the series between the Wild and the Canucks, and this Canucks team is different this year. Like, there is a something special going on there. They're looking solid 5-on-5. The power play is clicking. Quinn Hughes has been fantastic, making a case, honestly, for the best rookie of the year right now in the postseason. So I think when you look at this team, there's so many positive things working out. Do you think that they get this done tonight, Pete, or do you think it's going to keep going with Minnesota here?
Second of a back-to-back for Minnesota. They're, you know, considering Dubnyk. You don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if that would be the right decision. I think what we've seen from Vancouver responding from game one, where they took that physical toll Minnesota did on them. I mean, what you see from Pettersson fighting back a little bit within reason, so he's not, you know, getting suspended or anything like that, but he's fighting back. And then he scored on a really nice one-timer at the end of the game yesterday. Quinn Hughes getting 3 assists in his sleep. That's what we know of the Canucks from the regular season. So yes, it's very nice to see that happening. And I do think that Vancouver shuts it down. Mike, I know you're betting the Wild, but I'm sticking with my instincts from what I saw all season with Vancouver.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. But I'm going to be on the Wild, and I'll probably just bet them to win the series again. And I just can't look past this defense. Like, I think the difference between the two teams is that Vancouver, they have a very good plan A. Like, they can outscore teams. They have so much skill, but if Minnesota can shut those guys down, obviously Ryan Suter is a question mark for the game. So I'm going to wait to see what happens there. But if Minnesota can shut them down, I don't really think Vancouver has that plan B to fall back on. And, you know, it's tough, but like, it's a team I just can't get off. And I'm sure over the off season, like, you know, I'll think about all the things I could have bought with the money I bet on the Wild this season, but I'm going to go down with the ship.
Brock Besser is coming through in a big way for Vancouver, which is something we were kind of anticipating, because they said he was looking so strong, so fast. The shot was looking so good in training camp, but to actually see it materialize and see him scoring goals in consecutive games. I mean, remember, Vancouver got shut out in game one, and now what they've done the past two games have completely righted the ship, and now Minnesota's on the brink.
And Mike, I can't quit Bill Guerin's Minnesota Wild either. From the beginning of the season, I mean, the price is just right on the Wild, and they've done well by me. So I'm sort of with you. I'm leaning with you. I was very discouraged with their lack of creativity on the power play yesterday and their inability to generate offense. But I'm going to stick with you because I think the price is right. And I love old Billy G, Billy Guerin's team there. He's the GM, and I'm just going to stick with him also.
It's a bordering obsession with Bobby and his Kevin Fiala, Billy Guerin love affair. He called me a love affair about Mark Stone. I don't think
this is a no, this is a new level
again this season. You know,
if that's a love affair, what does that make Bobby and Billy Guerin?
I bet 3 Conn Smythe futures, and it was Brad Marchand at 33-1, your man Mark Stone at 40-1, and I bet Fiala at 125-1. Okay. When you're betting those kind of awards, you got to think about if the Wild win, they'd win because of their defense, and they're just not. I want to think Jared Spurgeon would win a Conn Smythe, so I thought, you know, Fiala would be the better play there.
Well, I hear the dog squeaking the toy now, Mike. So before we let you go, it's obviously time to play with the dog, but we got 2 round robin games to decide the number one seed: Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, and then in the West, we got Vegas, Colorado. Do you lean one way or the other? Are you just sitting back on this whole round robin thing?
I've sat back because I haven't been able to figure it. I thought after the first day, I thought maybe if my leans were right, I would jump in, but they weren't. They were so off. I thought the Bruins would be the perfect team for this because their system's so good. But I mean, I've been wrong, and I thought the Flyers were very overvalued. So I'm just going to sit back and watch it, and I'm going to, you know, keep an eye on the way things are shaking out in the futures market more than anything, and say like, all right, like if the Flyers are going to be the number one seed, that makes me feel better about Montreal. Or if I think there's going to be a matchup that'll better suit maybe another team that I haven't invested in the market, maybe play them that way. But I still like, I've been pretty bad at figuring out what, how these teams are going to approach these games.
If I was going to take anything away from what I've seen and place anything on one of those two games, I know that the Philly and Tampa Bay game, it has two elite goalies, so I'm staying away from that. Probably going to be lower scoring. But the other game, I think, is as big of a lock to be an over, no matter what they set it at, between Vegas and Colorado. That is going to be an amazing game to watch offensively. So, Mike, thanks so much for joining us here today, and best of luck with the elimination betting.
You too, guys.
I just wanted to say real quick before we wrap up, Philadelphia, like I called it before the 2 weeks ago, I said they'll win the number one seed in the East and they'll lose in the first round of the actual playoffs. And it looks like we might be having that here. Ultimate Philadelphia Flyers.
If they're playing the Canadiens, that'll be great with me, man. I'll be thrilled.
Always a joy having Mike on. And I know, listen, people texting me and saying, oh, Mike never bets the favorite. He always takes the underdog. Well, that's his strategy. And you know what? It's all about your final ROI, return on investment. And go just take a look at the return on investment. Mike is making money on the underdogs. He doesn't like laying the cash. So, you know, you got to tip your cap when the guy's delivering, and he's delivering. So, and we're not encouraging betting. This is all imaginary money. If you're following the pucks, you know, we're not saying go place some money on this team or that team. This is all just giving you guys perspective and learning the market a little bit.
Right. We're not encouraging betting, but I would encourage you, if you're thinking about betting, to go on the Action Network app, which I have to track these things, and follow Mike on there, because he has little tidbits and notes under his picks for the day, you know, to supplement what you might see at the surface. It's actually really good info. It's a good experience. So again, thanks to Mike for joining us.
Again, it's all about total ROI, and Mike has the ROI, and people who are betting the favorites like me, Squarehead over here taking the Oilers in the series, my ROI isn't there. So, you know, you got to tip your cap to Mikey.
Yeah, I was thinking back to those hammer jobs. I know my hammer job kind of fell off the rails because Scheifele and Laine got injured, but the Jets are out as of last night, and the Oilers are facing elimination too. So it's like, it's actually, if you came in like Mike did to the postseason this year and just looked at it from the standpoint of there are so many variables here, it's so unpredictable, I'm going to take the other team based on my instincts, I'd be doing better if I just took the other team in every matchup. That's how crazy this has been.
I hear you, Petey. It's kind of the same thing every year almost in terms of unpredictability in hockey. But that'll do it for us today. Signing off for the weekend. You can catch me at NHL Reese, Petey's at NHL Jensen, and Bobby is at Aircheck.
Yep. So for Leboff, Bender, Reese, Jensen, we'll talk to you again next week. By the time we get to next week, guys, we'll know the first round matchup. So that'll be pretty cool. We'll talk some fantasy pools and the whole bit. So have a great weekend, everybody. Touch base next week. NHL Fantasy on Ice.